In this course, we have an entire module focusing on death and childhood, because this is an area that is often unexplored or discussed. Children are in our society in particular, rarely given the opportunity to join in family discussions about death-related topics. Children are usually excluded from decision-making when it comes to the funeral process, and parents have a hard time talking with their children about death. There's two topics that parents tend to have a hard time talking about with their children, and that is sex and puberty and death. So these are considered taboo topics in our society. There are a lot of euphemisms that are used for these terminologies, and because so many adults themselves have death anxiety and have unformed attitudes towards death, as we've discussed, then sometimes these fears and anxiety is transferred to children. And with that lack of communication, it is hard to understand how children are feeling and coping with loss when they do experience loss. So this is an important area to understand, is what do we know about children and how they handle death, how do they cope with grief, and how do they view death in general? So what we found from the research is that it is the death of particular people or animals that will initially elicit a child's concern, a young child, and that death-related experiences, attitudes, and behaviors really are a part of the flow of information between children and their parents. Whether it's openly discussed or not, there is still that unspoken information that remains. So there may also be several different orientations towards death within the same household. What this means is you may have one parent or grandparent who openly talks about death and talks about their own death and lets the child know that they may not be around forever, and you may have other adults in the household that are very tight-lipped, that are very closed, that don't talk about death, that clearly show anxiety and discomfort when these conversations are going on. So it's not unusual to have different death attitudes and orientations towards death within the same household, all of which is influencing the child or children. We also know that parents who have their own discomfort with death, that their responses to their children's death-related curiosity is most likely going to produce anxiety in the children themselves. So when children start asking questions about death, and the parents are not able to answer those questions, or they put them off, that this really shapes these attitudes as well. We now have a generation of parents that are trying to communicate more openly with their children, even though they're coming from backgrounds where their own family's response was usually silence when it came to death and dying. So we have a lot of tools that are available now, videos and children's books that have been written expressly to assist parents with having these conversations with their children. And so we're moving into a new era of more openness about death, because I think we have to, because children are going to get the information that they want or need anyway via the internet and social media and their peers. So we really have to focus on a more open view. And this is part of that death education area as well. Several research studies have been done to look at children's death comprehension and how they conceptualize of death at various ages. Nagy's study, which focuses on several different stages of death comprehension, it was originally conducted in the 1940s and then into the 1960s, involved a fairly large cohort sample size of children from ages 3 to 10. And what he found is that there were several stages, and in the first stage, which was children mostly in the age range of 3 to 5, their focus was on absence, so the loss, the person's presence no longer being there. They tend to be very curious about death and death-related items, such as coffins and the cemetery and the funeral. Of course, and if those kind of questions coming from 3 to 5 year olds is very uncomfortable for most parents. They also tend to view death as just a continuation of life, but in some other form. Very young children view death as temporary. They think the person or the animal is gone, but they're going to come back. And so this is an early stage where we start to see anxiety aroused by death, but mostly because of the absence of the loved person or animal. In stage two, Nagy found that children, usually between the ages of 5 to 9, focus more on the finality of death. Death now is represented almost as a person, like the Grim Reaper. Death is seen as dangerous, like darkness and skeletons. And so there is this other kind of connotation here. Fear of the dark, fear of death goes hand in hand. Death seems to have a mysterious power to children at this age. And they also believe that somehow you can elude death. If you just do the right thing, if you look twice before crossing the street, if you, keep your seatbelt on, that these are preventative measures that we have control and can prevent our own deaths. And to a certain extent, that continues into our teenage years. Death is not yet really recognized as something that is universal at that stage. And in his final stage, stage three, which he says starts around the age of 9 and then continues, death is understood as final, that it's going to come to everyone, including ourselves. And the discussions about death will take on more of a mature adult quality, or really have more of the religious dimensions. So at this stage, if a person belongs to a specific religious tradition, we're going to see that imagery of death, whether it's heaven or hell or a day of judgment or a new life, we're going to start to see that imagery creep into the comprehension of death and continue onwards. Other research studies have found that there are some gender differences on how boys and girls depict death. Boys, of course, are more likely to depict violent deaths. The younger children tend to focus on the issue of separation anxiety, on the loss of a loved one who, and usually, you know, who's going to take care of me. That is a major focus of death comprehension in young children. We see a lot of cultural differences when we study death comprehension in children from different cultures. In the United States, once again, more violent depictions of death, where Swedish children in one study were more likely to focus on cemeteries and chapels and tombstones. So what we see is a lot of these research studies with children involve drawings, where the children were asked to make drawings to explain their understanding because they couldn't quite verbalize at those young ages yet. There have been studies that have compared different religious groups, and those studies have found that Muslim children were grasping the universality and inevitability of death at a younger age. And as I mentioned in a previous lecture, this is because death is an everyday part of life in many of these societies, and people are encouraged to take their children to the funeral prayers and to funerals as part of the religious convictions. And so it's not surprising that we're seeing those cultural and religious differences in understanding of death in children. When it comes to death in the family, what we find is that parents are often distracted by the death of either their own parents or a sibling or some other family member's death. And so their attention and their energy is turned away from the children. And this can result in these children expressing their distress and their anxiety in different ways, whether it's problems in school or showing anger or having fear or just trying to be brave and no crying. And so one of the big issues is, how do we make sure that when there is a death in the family, that children are getting the adequate information that they need and the adequate attention so that they don't turn to unhealthy coping mechanisms or not properly dealing with the grief that they too are experiencing? One of the things that we can do, of course, for these children to avoid them developing larger problems, which can even include PTSD, is to help with open communication. Open communication is the first thing, is that parents and other adults in the family should leave the communication lines open and say, if you need to talk, you know, let me know. Is there something that you want to talk about? Do you have any questions about the funeral? So giving children the opportunity to make some decisions giving them the opportunity about whether they want to attend the funeral or play a part in the funeral or pick out funeral flowers. This can all help to keep the communication lines open and also allow these children to deal with the loss that they've experienced. These frequent check-ins, you know, don't assume that you know what the death means to the child, especially if they're at a younger age. And other things that we can do is encourage children to express their feelings, whether this is through journaling or writing or drawing or acting out, kind of expressive arts therapy, making scrapbooks, memorializing the person who they have lost. Professional counseling may be something. It may be an option if the child is at a particular risk or has shown signs of behavioral issues following the loss. Having books that are age appropriate for the child that will speak to the loss that they've experienced can be important. So there are many, many steps that we can take to help children cope with a loss. Then we have the issue of children who are dying themselves, and you will see in this unit how some parents are dealing with their child who is terminally ill, as well as going back to the earlier video with Zach, who was a teenager, and how he was dealing with his own dying. So we know that there is a process of acquiring information where the children understand that they have a serious illness. Obviously, a very, very small children would not have these understandings, but as they get older, they do. They start to understand what medication they're on and what it's supposed to do. They understand that they're going through the cycle of feeling better and feeling worse. And then they know that this is not going to go on forever, that there is going to be an end to this process. And this is particularly true for terminally ill children, that at some point they will acquire this kind of knowledge that they are going to die. Even if parents and caregivers have tried to keep it from them, the research has shown that they do have, they're acquiring knowledge through these processes. There is hospice, of course, for children who are dying, and they help to provide opportunities for these children, the same as we talked about with the children who are going through a grief, to write, to draw, to play, and express. There are camps as well and peer groups for children who are experiencing dying and young people who are going through the process of dying. That was showed in the film The Fault in Our Stars, that the two terminally ill teenagers, the young people, that they meet each other in this support group for dying young people. And so we know that there are those types of support groups that are available. It's very important for these children to still feel that they're normal and valuable within their family unit. They need that assurance. They need assurance that they won't be forgotten or abandoned by their family. This becomes very important for many children who are in the dying process. Siblings of dying children often face a lot of confusion about what role they play in the family. They might feel rejected by their parents or very uncertain about the future as they're dealing with their own sibling going through a dying process. They may feel guilt. So there's a lot of emotional exploration that children who are witnessing their own sibling going through this process may experience. They may feel frustrated. And so they tend to feel a bit neglected by their parents and others because all of the focus and energy is on the dying child. And so this is another challenge. So there's quite a bit of research on spousal bereavement and how we cope with dying children and how siblings cope with in childhood with the loss of their sibling. Not as much research on adult siblings and adult sibling loss. So there is this focus on how do we help individuals to cope with the loss of a child, as well as how do we help children to cope with the loss of others in their lives. It is important to be observant of a child's behavior and see if there's changes in their behavior, if there's changes in their expressions. The main thing is to reinforce the feeling of safety and security of open communication, that there is, that they are able to express what they're feeling and they should not feel that they have to hide it. So this is very, very important as we help children to cope with dying and with the process of bereavement. Death in childhood is a phenomenon that is there. It is experienced, and we need to develop better ways to handle and communicate what is happening so we have better death comprehension and lower rates of death anxiety in young children.